Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with John Cox, Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Pete Boyer. John, let's move for a moment over to the President's Management Agenda, or the PMA. In the last OMB scorecard, unlike HUD, about half of the federal agencies received a red rating in financial performance. What has your organization done to continue receiving a green rating in progress and status in this area? And second, can you tell us from your perspective why this is such a challenging area for many of the federal agencies?
Well, first of all, let me just say that when I came into federal government, I think the concept of a PMA is extremely helpful in terms of accountability. It's out there. It's public. And surprisingly enough, when I in the private sector, I used a very similar mechanism, used a red, yellow, green scorecard and reported to the board every quarter. So I think that is – I was very impressed with that from a federal government perspective and OMB's management of it. In terms of getting to green, first let me give you a little bit of history with HUD. It took HUD a long time to get to green, and I congratulate the efforts of not only my staff in the CFO area but the program staff as well, because it took a long time to get to that status. One of the final things, kind of final couple of things we had were two material weaknesses that we eliminated with last year fiscal 2006's audit, and then we also got off the GAO high risk list. And again, both of those items were parallel, and so I think there was a lot of work, and I think that should be recognized to get to that point. One of the challenges I think people have are getting the management support inside the organization to tackle these issues, because many of these issues are either accounting related or business process related, not as high on the radar screen, quite frankly, as program delivery, getting the dollars out to the various groups that are impacted. So I think that's one of the challenges. Fortunately, we didn't have that at HUD. The secretary and deputy secretary were very supportive of this effort. It was a multi-year effort to get to green on the president's management agenda and improve financial performance, but it would not have happened without their key top-level support. And so I think that's just it's a process. It has to involve strong funds control, so you have to work with the program offices to make sure that they're working to improve their funds control processes. And then finally, it also has a lot to do, I think, with systems. As we work with the challenges of a tight budget, which all federal agencies are doing, one of the things you have to do is use technology to improve the business processes, which ultimately then improve the controls. And so I think that has proved to be a challenge for a lot of agencies, and again, HUD is no exception there, in getting enough dollars to make those improvements, because many of our systems, while they have been modernized, many of them are still decades old. And so it takes a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of planning, a lot of good project management to be able to implement those, get those requirements, and make the business process changes. And so that, I think, also is a challenge into getting to green, is you have, for example, many agencies with multiple general ledgers, with multiple feeder systems. All the feeder systems don't talk to each other necessarily. So all of those are understandable, but they provide challenges in terms of getting to, you know, proper financial management from a federal government perspective or private sector for that matter.
Now, along the similar theme, John, your department has received an unqualified opinion on its principal financial statements for the seventh consecutive year, which clearly demonstrates a pattern of financial accountability within the organization. First, can you tell us what is the significance of a clean opinion, and what do you think are the keys to successfully achieving a timely and clean opinion?
First of all, the importance of it is to the oversight bodies, OMB, Congress, et cetera. It tells them and gives them a comfort level that we are utilizing those funds in accordance with what they were designed to do. In other words, the appropriation law tells us what to do with these funds and that we have, in fact, done that, that we're using them in an effective and efficient manner for the taxpayer or the ultimate beneficiary in our case. Secondly, I think it helps to have and this may be somewhat blasphemous for me to say, but it helps to have a good relationship with your auditors and with your IG in particular. So what I have tried to do during my tenure is work with my team to provide more openness and working with the IG, because ultimately, in our case, two of the major components are audited by independent firms. The overall HUD audit is audited by our IG. And so you just have to have an open process there and a dialogue with them to, you know, you can't just start working on the audit in August. In the private sector, obviously, you're working constantly because you have quarterly reporting. Here you have annual reporting in the federal government. So I have initiated a process this year where the corrective action plans, the management letter items from the prior year, we started working on those in December and early January in anticipation of trying to clear those up for this year's audit. You may be aware, I don't know if your listeners are aware, it's a little bit arcane accounting, but some of the rules for what are the definitions of material weaknesses and significant deficiencies have been raised, similar to what you saw in Sarbanes-Oxley in the private sector. So what it takes to get a material weakness, the bar has actually been lowered, meaning we have to do more work to make sure that things don't cross over that threshold. So again, getting that process started early, getting the corrective action plans in place, working with the program offices, because obviously my team doesn't do that alone. And then finally, I would say, again, my hat is off to all the men and women at HUD in both the CFO office as well as the program office, because it doesn't happen. I just don't wave a wand and get a clean audit opinion. It takes a lot of hard work, a lot of process improvements, technology improvements to get this done. And it's a tremendous accomplishment to have 7 years in a row.
John, again, on a similar vein, budget and performance integration lies at the heart of ensuring both strategic allocation and efficient use of funds. Could you tell us about your department's efforts in budgeting and performance integration, and how has your organization expanded the use of financial data to improve its management decision-making process?
Sure, Pete. I'll take the last one first. We have expanded what we call our data mart, our financial data mart, to assist with areas of management decisions, budget planning, budget execution, spending, project management, contract management, all these different areas. We have increase the amount of data that the programs have to be able to analyze the information that they have and execute on their business. So I think that's an area where we have gradually been implementing improvements there to not only use technology but also better data so they can get at it. We're not there yet. We have more work to do, including we're working on an executive dashboard for the assistant secretaries and general deputy assistant secretaries to, again, provide them more information on a more timely basis. And we're working to get that done literally even as we speak. We've improved the web-based interface to this data mart. So in the past, it was sort of a circuitous route to get to this data. We're trying to make it easy. We're trying to make it web-based. And so I think fundamentally, you are a better financial person and you have better financial information if you understand the business better. And so we're trying to not only understand the business, in our case, the programmatic side of HUD, and getting that information matched with that so that hopefully we make better decisions and better judgments on how we budget. The final thing I would say is, from a purely budget standpoint and a budget performance integration standpoint, tying into the president's management agenda, my organization has responsibility for working with the programs to set those goals and those targets. And then we're obviously responsible for ultimately reporting on those targets. So, for example, if we have percentages of minority home ownership that FHA needs to meet or that certain organizations need to meet, if we have caseloads in fair housing that we need to, you know, we've set a goal for how many of those cases get resolved in a timely manner. Dozens and dozens of metrics that we have in the department. We're responsible for monitoring those, maybe nudging gently, and as the secretary says, using our powers of persuasion to improve those metrics. And then obviously working with the external sources, again, OMB and the Hill, to improve the reporting. And hopefully what that ends up with is not only a document that lets the taxpayer and the constituency groups understand how HUD has performed, but also helps push the organization to make improvements. And I think that's the ultimate goal. And then the result of that is to hopefully the next time we submit a budget, which we're shortly to begin the fiscal year 09 cycle, that will help us better prioritize where our needs are and where we're going to put our request for funding.
Agencies are required to annually review programs to identify those susceptible to significant improper payments. These improper payments include payments made in the wrong amount to an ineligible recipient, or improperly used by the recipient. Would you elaborate on initiatives and strategies that the department has employed to successfully manage and reduce improper payments? And what progress has been made year over year? And is this how much of a challenge does this effort present for your department?
Well, I'm pleased to tell you, Pete, that HUD has a great story in improper payments. We were the first agency to get to green on the president's management agenda in reducing improper payments. And we have various areas where we measure improper payments, but the largest one is in our assisted rental housing areas. Fundamentally, to qualify for our rental housing, you are allowed to pay no more than 30% of your income. So obviously a starting point of that is what is your income? And what we found in improper payments is clients and tenants in all cases weren't being forthright with what their income was. And so we developed a process, and it's a great story of technology. It's a great story of hard work within the department, and it's a great story of interagency cooperation using the HHS, Health and Human Services, current wage and employment data. We're able to set up a secure data point. So we obviously privacy was a key issue for the Hill as well as for the department. And working with that system, we're able now to match on a fairly current basis what the income that's being reported through the HHS system is. So we, by doing that, we set a baseline in 2000. We estimated that we had $3.2 billion of gross improper payments. And by implementing that matching system, combined with additional education for those who are actually going through the process of working with the tenants to make sure it was education and focus as well as a technology solution, we were able to reduce improper payments in about 4 or 5 years by over 70%. And so, again, you've heard stories obviously similar to the IRS, Internal Revenue Service, where if your neighbor gets audited, everybody suddenly gets religion. Well, I think a combination of improved education and improved computer matching really was a key to being able to do that. And also working with HHS, I don't underestimate the importance of that. There were privacy concerns there. In today's world, there are obviously security concerns. So we were able to develop a system that allows each of the public housing agencies or the people who are working on their behalf to match that income and do it in a secure, safe manner and yet get the information we need to verify the tenant's income. We have that in the public housing arena in fiscal year 2008. We'll be expanding that to the multifamily project-based assistance program, another key rental program in the department. And so the bottom line for us is not only to reduce improper payments, but it's to ensure that the right people get the right help. And I think that's what's key, that $2 billion reduction in improper payments means that we have more funds available to help those who really need it.
That's really a great success story. Now, John, what steps has HUD taken to track and manage its costs? Specifically, could you tell us about your efforts implementing an activity-based costing management system in your department? And what were some of the challenges to pursuing this effort?
We are still in the process. I would say that that effort is a work in process. We have two products internally, REAP and TEAM. The acronyms aren't important except to tell you that what they're doing is basically time tracking and allowing people within the department to track their time and enter their time so that we can have an estimate of what it takes to do that particular job. And one of the challenges is obviously education, helping people understand that it's important. It's not just an exercise. These are professionals. They don't punch a clock necessarily. But we need this information to help the department understand what it really takes to get a particular job done. And so we're using that effort in a way to do cost and management data. We have journal ledger programs that help us track that data so we can allocate that among our major strategic goals. So improving fair housing, improving minority home ownership, providing safe, decent, affordable housing in the rental market. All of those goals, we allocate those based on that REAP team data. So we've got more work to do. We'll be implementing a new journal ledger, we hope, in the next 18 to 24 months on the HUD side. And when we do that, we're hoping to add some additional features that will help us automate that process.
Now, John, HUD has obviously made a tremendous amount of progress in the areas of finance and accountability. And to sort of demonstrate your success, this year your department has received the prestigious Association of Government Accountants, or AGA, Certificate of Excellence and Accountability Reporting, the SEER Award. Could you tell us a little bit about this award, its process, and this significant milestone in your organization?
That was a significant milestone for the department, and we participate in a couple of those programs, and SEER being one of those. What the process is there are, my understanding, is approximately 80 reviewers. Approximately 21 of the CFO Act agencies submitted an application for the SEER Award, and I understand about 11 of the 21 received the awards. And so it's just a process where they go through and they look and review your report to determine if it shows accountability, if it shows transparency, if it shows that, you know, that you're continuing to look and change your business processes and your reporting and transparency to the taxpayer and to the constituency groups that we serve. And so we were very, very pleased to receive that. And I think provided us some validation that, in fact, we, you know, we're trying to make improvements. Now, I will also be honest with you and tell you they gave us several pages of suggested improvements for this year, which we are going through. And so our work is not complete by any stretch of the imagination. There's a lot more we can do to simplify it. The PAR document itself is a very lengthy document. One of the things I've challenged my team in the financial reporting area this year is to hopefully reduce its size and bulk. And so because I think ultimately that will actually provide a better document to help taxpayers and constituency groups understand not only how we spend our money and where we spend our money, but are we effective at doing that?
So no resting on past success.
Absolutely not.
Okay, great.
Always, what have you done for me lately?
How important is collaboration to HUD's current success? We will ask John Cox, Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.